Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timmeri. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcasts, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. As always, our happy hour, this is your hour to ask questions you might have about what's impacting your bottom line day to day. Number is 1-888-914-9149. Of course, our goal is joy. Joy is a virtue where we are rooted in God, oriented toward God, and experiencing the joy of Christ, not just that fleeting emotion of happiness that comes and goes, just as anger and sorrow and so many other emotions can. So if you have a question, number is 1-888-914-9149. You can also ask live now on my Instagram. Follow me at Timmeri, that's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Joining me today on Trending is Claire McGarry. We're going to talk about her incredible work in her book titled Grace and Tension. This idea of how we feel tension, how we feel stress, and how it gets in the way of our happiness. That doesn't have to be there. That tension, that frustration can completely be gone if we incorporate our faith in those moments. And so for practical how-tos to identify the problem and find the solution will be Claire McGarry here on Trending with me in just a little bit. I'll discuss how 30 minutes of silent prayer a day can be a game changer in your life, and we'll also unpack today's Lenten lesson on the Mass with Father Rocky. You're listening to Trending with Timmeri. Claire McGarry can be found. Her work has been helping many people in discovering this perspective shift, a faith-filled perspective shift. You can find her work at shiftingmyperspective.com. And again, she's the author of the book Grace and Tension. Claire, welcome to Trending.
Oh, thank you so much, Timmeri. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'd like to dive into this crisis that many people are experiencing today in the culture of what would be identified as flooding. That is a stress hormone chemical response to the way we react to what's happening in our day, or maybe some sort of crisis that happens. You know, the cortisol levels start to increase, we become stressed, and everything from stress eating to anger to anxiety to sleeplessness, so many things can impact our day-to-day. But your book, Grace and Tension, dives into getting to the root of the tension that so many of us are feeling in our lives, from just this disunity, lack of confidence, to stress. How can we achieve that happiness and identify the problem going on in our lives?
Well, I think primarily it's by taking it to God. I think oftentimes we label the symptom of the problem and not the actual root cause. And until we truly identify where our stress and tension is coming from, we can't solve it. So it's really by spending time with Him and opening our ears and hearts to what He's trying to lead us to that we recognize what the root problem really is. It can be anything from lacking limits, wanting it all, competing with other people, taking too much on and being a martyr, not being comfortable with asking for help, getting distracted, running on fumes. The list goes on and on and on, especially for those of us of faith who think we're always supposed to say yes to everything. We want to be good disciples. We want to be good members of the church and, you know, good parents and friends and siblings. And so we struggle with where that line is between good enough and too much, and also where that line is of what tasks God is calling us to do and what tasks are meant for other people.
It's interesting, something you just said is finding the tension and the balance between good enough and what's too much or not enough. And I think this idea of those words good enough to most people in their own eyes, at least the overachievers, never sounds like enough. Like when they say, okay, well, that's good enough, it's almost like a disappointment, like you've let yourself down. So let's talk about that a little bit, because you define in your book different levels of tension. And I think that really does touch on this problem of good enough and overcoming that crisis that we experience of almost always feeling like we have to do more.
Yeah, absolutely. So low-level tension is where we have that just unidentifiable angst. Something just isn't going right. Something just isn't sitting right within us. And I believe that, you know, God doesn't give us our stress and tension. I think we're pretty good at creating that ourselves with how we treat other people and how we treat our planet and even how we treat ourselves. But he does show up in the midst of it to lead us through. And I believe that angst is his gentle call saying, you veered off course. Let me just gently prompt you to a subtle change, you know, just like that small little rudder can change the whole trajectory of a boat. I believe he's just showing up to gently nudge us back on course. And a lot of times this whole process happens without us actually identifying it. We just feel something we can't put our finger on. We know it isn't right. And then we suddenly find a new way. And I believe that, again, is him in our low-level tension prompting us on course, back on course. Where the real problem lies, I believe, and where I think, well, I should only speak for myself, but where I live the majority of my life is in that mid-level tension. And I believe that's when we don't take that time to stop and look at our choices. We never question whether we've made the right choice or not. And I talk an awful lot in the book about Martha and Mary. And I believe Martha doesn't take the time to stop and look at the choices that she's making. She wants to just point the finger at Mary and blame it all on her. And if she would just get up and help, all of her stress and tension would go away. So rather than asking Mary for help, she digs her heels in, I believe, digs her heels into her choices, grabs her rope of tension, and it's by pulling on it so tight that she actually increases her stress and tension. And I believe so many of us are guilty of that because we view change as very difficult. Self-introspection is very difficult. We would prefer if other people in our lives would change or if God would change our circumstances. We never stop to look at the call that we're being called to make. And so that's why I think we spend so much time in that mid-level zone. The high-level tension that I talk about in my book is that place where we think we have no say in the matter. You know, it's the very difficult situations in life, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, the cancer diagnosis. But like I talk about Martha and Mary and their circumstances when they lose their brother Lazarus, I believe both of them recognize they actually do have a choice in that terrible situation, and their choice lies in how they respond.
Right. For a moment, let's just, for those who maybe aren't following, the Martha and Mary story that you're talking about to begin with is Martha and Mary, as you mentioned, the sisters of Lazarus, their three siblings. The story starts with Jesus visiting their house. And as he's there visiting and he's there among his disciples, Martha's getting ready and she's cooking and she's serving and she's taking care of all the disciples in Christ. And there her sister Mary is just sitting at his feet doing, in her eyes, nothing to help her. It's left her completely alone. And so that tension you're talking about is where literally Martha approaches our Lord and says, well, why are you just letting my sister sit there? Tell her to get up. Tell her to help. And Jesus Christ says, no, Mary has chosen the better place. And so as you're saying, I think what's really important, Claire, is for people to understand that Christ has actually told Martha, no, stop doing so much. Mary's chosen the better place to be here at the feet of I who am God. And so just kind of putting that context, your whole book really centers around much of that story and their interaction, such as when their brother dies that you're about to go into.
Yeah, and thank you for explaining that. I think I spent so much time within that Bible passage, I forget that others haven't. So thank you for covering that ground for me. So yes, in the high level tension, I think the sisters, once they've lost their brother Lazarus, because Jesus delays his coming, and I think they each assumed he would heal Lazarus when he was sick, and because he chooses not to come right away, they lose their brother. And I think it's through the experience of grief and recognizing that Jesus has a better plan that they come to accept and learn that they actually do have a choice, and it's in how they respond, and that we have the same choice ourselves in those very difficult moments and circumstances. The grace and peace comes through how we respond to it.
I want to dive into in just a moment that nudge of opportunity that you've spoken of, that in that tension, in that stress, that's an opportunity to encounter Christ and make a shift in our lives. We're going to dive into the solutions in a moment here, but you speak often of the problem of the to-do lists and how, like, of course, to-do lists are important, but how sometimes we have to find the balance in the midst of that to-do list. We have to find the confidence even in figuring what the most important thing to do at the time is, so that we don't face that same crisis that Martha experiences, where she's mad and resentful when literally the king of the universe, God, is in her home, and yet she's there and she's upset and she's complaining, which I think a lot of people can be that way. You know, I've been there. You know, you have people entertaining, maybe you feel like you're the only person in your house who's helping to clean up all the trash that's everywhere, or wash the plates, or make sure everyone ate. Or maybe, you know, it's at work and you feel like you're the only person leaning in and taking care of business or helping with the kids. And we miss the people who are in front of us when we become resentful or flooded with all of those stress hormones in that moment. So how do we build confidence in knowing what's most important right in front of us at the time, rather than the to-do list that we have?
Well, I think it comes from a heart check. I think oftentimes, those of us who do want to serve and we want our actions to bless other people, we start off with the best of intentions. And I think where the stress comes in is when we lose sight of what our intention is. And I think, you know, when we start looking at other people's choices and wishing we had made theirs instead of what we're doing, when we start moving into that martyr zone of, oh, woe is me, no one will get up and help me, I think that's where we have to say, okay, why is my heart not aligned with my head right now? Because we don't grace anyone when we do anything with our head and our heart misaligned, because now we're doing it for all the wrong reasons, and that's where the resentment and the stress comes in. So we have to take that moment to do a heart check and say, okay, why am I experiencing this? Why isn't my heart in this any longer? And, you know, it can result in one of two things. Either we pull our heart back into what we're doing so that we're acting and serving with our whole heart, or it could be a very strong indicator that whatever that task is, isn't necessary, isn't the better part.
You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. That's Claire McGarry, the author of Grace and Tension. We're going to dive into the solutions for how to overcome that tension and stress that you experience that's getting in the way of your happiness. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, you can subscribe now at relevantradio.com/trending or wherever you catch your pods, so you don't have to miss a single episode, and you can share this with someone you love. Again, coming back to discuss during our weekly happy hour the solution to your tension and stress and how to find the faith-filled response in the midst of it and actually grow. Solidarity HealthShare now offers a new program called Solidarity One. With Solidarity One, members decide what healthcare options best fit their needs,
and with the flexibility to meet any budget. Learn more at CatholicHealthShare.com.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Author of the book A Grace in Tension is joining me today on Trending. And the topic is, do you find yourself flooding with those stress hormones, overwhelmed, overcommitted, or even just feeling tension? You know, you're one place, but you wish you were somewhere else, and you kind of start to lash out at other people. Maybe you're starting to have that fear of missing out. You feel like you have all of these tasks. You're overworked. You're jealous. Maybe you feel guilty or resentful about your choice. Well, all of that tension, all of that stress, it doesn't have to be there. And so often we talk about a psychological way to break down, you know, how we're overcommitting ourselves. And that is important. That is a part of this whole journey. But we want to talk about the solutions to your tension. Joining me now again is Grace McClure. I keep wanting to call you Grace because your book is titled Grace and Tension. Claire McGarry, who wrote this book, you can find her at shiftmyperspective.com. And in your book, Claire, you provide a solution of, you know, a path of just, you know, quickly taking some time to meditate upon a few steps to really identify what's going on, why am I feeling this way, and how can I find a solution? Can you walk us through that today?
Sure. So while writing the book, I was constantly going to God to have him help me through my stress and tension. And this one day, just miraculously, it occurred to me that there was a pattern by which he walked me through that process. And I'm someone who has a terrible memory, and so I love acronyms. They're something I can sink my teeth into. And so the acronym GIFT just sort of floated up, and that G stands for gauge. When we go to God with our stress and tension, he helps us gauge, identify, or name what the tension actually is. Like I was talking about earlier, sometimes we label the symptom, and we can't solve the problem if we can't gauge or name it. So that's the first step. The second step is that letter I for invite. And I believe if our stress or tension isn't going to put us in mortal or spiritual danger, I believe God asks us to invite it in, to sit with it, to look at it in the eye at his feet. And when we look or face our emotions, we loosen our hold on them, and then they loosen their hold on us. And it's typically the emotions that cloud our ability to see what's really happening. So that's when we can use that F from the word gift for filter, to look through the filter of God's loving eyes. I believe God is always working for our good, even in the midst of our tension, and oftentimes through our tension itself. So when we can look through the filter of his loving eyes, we see what that gift or lesson is. And that's when we can use that T for transform. God inspires us to make a change that will transform our stress and tension into grace. Sometimes it's an outward change for how we go about our daily tasks. And sometimes it's an inward change, how we respond to certain situations. So it's gift, gauge, invite, filter, transform.
And walking through this, I've spent a few days now walking through this process over the last few days. And let me tell you, Claire, this has been extremely helpful, especially right now. I was sharing with you earlier, I have a 14-month-old and she is teething and working her way through molars. Now, my kid is, you know, just a little over a year, and she has, I think, 14 teeth now, which, and just in comparison, my niece, I think, has like 4 or 6, and they're the same age. And these molars have been, parents who have been there know how rough it is. And it's hard to get like anything done. There's so much frustration, and you're just finding that balance of when you're flooded, you're overwhelmed, and being able to stop and identify, well, why am I overwhelmed? Why am I not necessarily responding well to normal crises occurring around me with a 14-month-old? These moments help you to understand, well, maybe I'm overcommitting myself and maybe I need to have a season. And I go through these, maybe you do well as well, Claire, of just saying no. And that's what I need to identify, that I just need to say no to a lot more things and not overcommit myself. Or it might be something else. Can you give us some examples of where you found yourself needing to make that adjustment and how you identified it using this GIFT acronym?
Oh, sure. It was when I went back to work for the first time after being a stay-at-home mom for 14 years. And as a stay-at-home mom, I had put the bar pretty high for myself. And I thought when I went back to work, I could maintain that same level of that stay-at-home mom, the activities and things that I was doing. So what I was doing was getting up earlier every day to do as much as I could before I got in the car to go off to work. Then I was coming home and doing everything I could to pick up all the balls I had dropped and, again, perform at that level that I had performed before working. And like Martha, I wanted everyone to change and get up and help me. And instead, I ended up at the feet of Jesus, in pieces, shattered, crying, stressed completely. And then I started the GIFT process. And I began journaling, and I began listening to him, and I began gauging and identifying the problem. And it was that I wasn't asking for help. I was taking on too much, and I wasn't asking for help. So when I sat with those feelings, that's when God showed me through the filter of his eyes that I was missing the wonderful opportunity of empowering my kids to actually step up and do their part. And so in his beautiful way, he showed me the steps of how to transform it exactly for who each of my kids are and who we are as a family. So we're a big Lego family. So he inspired me to build these little stacks, and each Lego brick represented the tasks that each person was doing. So I called a family meeting and I built the 5 stacks, for one for each of my 3 kids and one for my husband and one for myself. And I laid them out on the ottoman, and there they were, these teeny tiny stacks for the 3 kids. You know, my husband's stack was a little higher, and then mine was this skyscraping tower that was teetering and falling over. And I said to them, "What do you see?" And they said, "Wow, you do so much." And so I said, "Okay, is there something you can help me with?" And then as they volunteered to take on tasks, I would take a brick off of my tower and click it onto theirs. And I won't say they were all even, because, you know, I'm still the mom and they're just kids, but there was more of a level playing field for us to work together. And, you know, our families are mini communities. And when we empower our children to step up and do their part, we're teaching them how to do that out in the larger community as well. And so here was this terrible situation that I was viewing, or at least I was calling it terrible, when in fact God was tucking this gift inside, saying, "No, I have a beautiful change in mind for you and your family. Just spend time with me and I will reveal that to you, and I will partner with you every step of the way." And I mean, I won't say it's bliss around here and that my kids always do their chores, but it is incredible how much they have taken on, and the transformation, the maturity that's happening within them, and, you know, the pride that they are doing their part.
You also provide an opportunity for them to experience empathy with that experience. You know, so often when we try to do too much ourselves, we don't allow other people to be aware of what's going on in our own lives, to be empathetic, to know what's happening. You kind of just shut off and shut in on yourselves. And you give that example, as we mentioned before, of Martha and Mary in sacred scripture. Martha's upset, Lord, my sister, you know, here you are, you're visiting with the disciples. Tell my sister to get up and help me. You automatically want to point out and say, well, you're the problem. You need to change something or fix the situation, rather than turning and saying, what's going on, and then how can I maybe ask others for help if that's my necessity. Can you share a little bit about the example that many people experience when they go through this GIFT acronym, about how they have to make that mental shift, that perspective shift, which, by the way, joining me now is Claire McGarry from shiftmyperspective.com, the author of the book Grace Intention. How do you make that perspective shift of no longer blaming others when something's wrong by using this GIFT acronym?
Oh, I think that comes from His grace, because the GIFT acronym only works if you go with your heart and ears wide open, but also with a willingness to let Him not only show us where we need to make changes, where we need to change how we view things, but to actually then carry those changes out. And I don't think He ever asks us to make changes that are monumental and beyond our reach. I think He knows each one of us individually, and He knows our individual circumstances, and He knows what we're capable of. So I think He just asks us in small ways to make changes, but then is right there beside us to make them. And so, yes, that shift is critical in how we view it. But I think a big piece, too, comes from, you know, inviting those feelings in and sitting with them with Him, because then we stop holding on to those emotions, grabbing them tight. We loosen our hands, we loosen our heart, and then they, you know, they run their course. Versus when we run away from them, I feel like they pick up speed in order to catch us. And so they tend to grow, but we don't want to do that. We want to stop. We want to face them. We want to look them in the eye and loosen our hold on them. And then the shift comes. And a big piece of it is through His grace.
You talk about two different types of modes of operation, one operating out of love and one operating out of fear. Ultimately, we always seek something because we believe it will make us happy, whether we seek something because we're running from something else, or we seek something because we believe that thing that we love will make us feel good and experience pleasure. Can you discuss these two modes and how they can disrupt even the good choices that we make?
Oh, absolutely. I think all emotion boils down to either love or fear. So you can take any emotion, and if you trace it back, where does it begin? And so I think if we are making choices out of peer pressure or competition, or we feel like we haven't done enough, and so we're taking more on because we want to prove something, those are all things that are rooted in fear of us not measuring up, us not being good enough. And so inevitably, they will lead to stress and tension because they're not rooted in love. They prevent us from aligning our heart with our head. So it's only when we choose things with right intention, rooted in love, doing it for the love of others, doing it for the love of Christ, and doing it in His name, that we end up actually blessing people with our actions, and in turn we're blessed because it begins with love, it's carried out with love, and it goes out and returns to us in love. But it's not always a straight path. Like, I believe Martha truly does choose to serve Jesus with love in the beginning, she loses her way. And I think I can only speak for myself, but I oftentimes choose things with right intention, but then something goes amiss. And that's when I have to go back to God and say, walk me through that GIFT process. Something went wrong. I lost the desire to do this with my heart. Help me get back on track. And sometimes it is Him telling me, you've taken on too much. I didn't ask you to take on this task. And so, unfortunately, it's revealed to me through my stress levels versus my recognizing my limits. So it's, but yeah, it's always one or the other, love or fear.
And I think one of the greatest challenges today is we tend not, some people take on too much, but others take on the wrong things. And so this GIFT acronym helps to readjust that perspective, which is what you're all about. ShiftingMyPerspective.com is where you can discover Clara McGarry and her work, as well as pick up her book, Grace Intention. I highly recommend it. It's an easy read. It is so helpful to walk you through maybe that stress, that flooding, that chemical flare-up you're experiencing of stress, no matter what's going on. It is a faith-filled perspective to invite Christ into that situation, to make a mental shift, to find the resources you need to rediscover happiness in your day-to-day life.